We are live.
Whoa. Thank you, Satan.
There it goes. Whoever was, if anyone was even in the pre-roll there, they just heard the lovely voice of Manny here joining me. I'm Louie with Manny.
Yep.
We're talking
devil.
Yeah, we're talking Satan. We're talking the devil, on this lovely Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
God's Day, Sunday.
A week before Easter.
Wow. Look at what we're doing.
That's
there you go. But yes.
I think it's, I just have to say, I think it's really awesome that there are two satanic movies in theaters for Easter this year. You got Late Night the Devil and Immaculate, both in the theaters, more or less wide releases, and indie horror films at that.
You know what's funny? I didn't even think about that. It would have been hilarious if one of them had the balls to release it next weekend. That would
have been. Well, I think next weekend. Something's coming out. What's coming out next? Something's coming out next weekend. But I think that it's just a slow theater week. But the Winnie the Pooh movie comes out this week.
Oh, running out to see that one. But yes, we're talking Late Night with the Devil. Manny and I saw it 2 days ago. Friday night.
30 some odd hours ago.
Yes. Not even a full 48 hours ago. We saw the movie. We're going to be talking right here at the top before some shit slips out. We're going to be talking spoilers. So
we should just have like a graphic across the whole thing. Spoilers. So you know. Just so you know.
Spoiler alarm at the top here because technically.
Just blinking.
Yeah, just blinking. Right here. Here it is. My hands. Mm-hmm. Spoiler warning.
Get one of those neon signs made says spoilers. Yes.
If you're listening to this, our voices is what's going to tell you that there's going to be plenty of spoilers here in this this live episode.
Adjust that. There we go.
That's Manny's adjusting his camera while we're doing our spoiler spiel. But yes, because this is currently in theaters, but it'll be on Shudder sometime next month. I don't know the exact date.
Yeah.
Is it April or May?
I think it's late April. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't want to ruin the entire movie for you because this is, I think, one that when it is up on Shudder, more people will be people are already talking about it, but I feel like when it's up on Shudder officially for everyone's eyes to
people
see,
are gonna
there will be more people talking about this. Now, I found out about this movie maybe like a month ago, 2 months ago. I did not know this. Yeah, you knew about this existing way longer than I have. I didn't even know it was a thing until I saw the teaser trailer. I'm pretty sure it was like back in February. They released that first, it was 30 seconds or something.
I've been seeing images and teasers of it for almost a year, over a year now, because it premiered, I think it was South by Southwest, or it premiered last March.
Okay.
And then it played, I think it was South by Southwest that it premiered at, or, you know, one of those festivals. It played at Overlook, which I'm going to next weekend. I'll be at the Overlook Film Fest, but one of its premieres at Overlook last year, so beginning of April. So this movie's been doing festivals for about a year now, and I've been hearing about it. Also because there's some, I have a few acquaintances that are in the circle of the production of this film. You know, so I've been hearing friends of mine talking about it, that they saw it at this festival and they know, you know, the guy who did this or the girl who did that, you know. So I've been hearing about it for a while, but that's just because, you know, I do film festivals.
It makes sense. If you've been hearing rumblings of this movie.
Exactly.
That would make sense.
I don't expect everybody else to have to know that this movie's been around for a while.
Yeah, no. Well, that's how it always is. They run at films like this, independent film, they always run at festivals for a good year. They have their festival run, and then they get distribution and in this case, Shudder has been kind of distributing a lot of these types of films the last few years, which is always awesome to see in general, you know? You say that, it's funny, I was talking to, not that it matters, but a friend of ours, Beck, she's actually friends with someone that's in this movie.
There you go.
I didn't know that until after the fact. She was like, "Oh, I'm actually friends with that guy. I know him. We hung out in Australia." So that's there you go. Another connection randomly to this movie that Neither one of us knew. We both know this person. Now, when it comes to Late Night with the Devil, the first thing that came to mind when I saw the trailer was, and a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people, because I follow the WNUF, I think one or two of them, I'll be honest, my apologies. I follow one or two of them on Twitter and I think Facebook or something like that. And a lot of people have been comparing this, until seeing it, to that movie and Ghostwatch, which I see more Ghostwatch in this than I do WNUF, mostly because it's a broadcast of a, it's like a WNUF is kind of like the whole package. It's like commercials, news broadcast, talk show. Ghostwatch is just a singular program, which is what this is, but it also basically goes into the normal kind of, you know, not forced
traditional wall, narrative.
Traditional narrative, in the, which I didn't know. Like when I saw the trailers for this, I was like, oh, another one of these kind of like, which I'm a big fan of. I'm a big fan of films that are like mockumentaries and old recordings off of TV or lost media that's been discovered. And then you're watching what happened that night. And in this case, when I went to go see it with you, I was pleasantly surprised to see that it also was a traditional movie. It wasn't just the broadcast, which was surprising to me because the way it's being marketed, you'd think it's that type of movie, which did you know that by any chance?
I wasn't sure. No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't know one way or another. I'm glad that they didn't. The styles of this generally, you would, once we go to commercial breaks, we would then see commercials in the film. Yeah. And while that rings a bit of authenticity, because that's how you would have watched it years ago and it would have been commercials, the difference is if this were an actual broadcast and you were watching this at home, when the commercials came on, you and whomever you were watching it with would start talking about what you were watching. And there'd be a conversation that continued until the show came back on. When you're watching it in a movie and they give you commercials, you don't suddenly start talking about what was happening during commercials because the commercials are now part of the film. So that conversation that makes TV, that water cooler style thing that happens with TV and commercials, gives you a moment to kind of take in what you've been watching and listening to and everything. And again, something like this, where the show is like a shock type show, it's really meant to create a reaction. I feel like if it were live, you'd be talking about it during the commercials. You wouldn't be watching the commercials. But in things like WNUF, where they put the commercials in there, the commercials are a clever, fun thing to watch as well. So you don't just suddenly, you know, wait for the commercials to end. It's still part of the movie, and I feel that takes away from the actual drama of the story they're telling.
Okay. I get that. I feel like that
at-home conversation continues the drama.
Yeah, I get what you... Which Ghostwatch, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I haven't watched in maybe a year or so.
It's been a while since it's...
Yeah, it has no commercials.
I don't remember commercials.
It's just the program. It's like just Ghostwatch. There was another movie you mentioned, I haven't seen it yet, that when we were done watching Late Night with the Devil, as soon as it ended, you mentioned it. What's the name of that one?
The Cleansing Hour.
Yeah, which I haven't seen yet, which you said was very reminiscent of, I guess, kind of not the same type of movie, but more so kind of like a fake faux broadcast. Yeah,
Cleansing Hour is a guy doing a webcast, and they're doing a live possession on webcam. And that's their web show. So they have somebody tied down to a chair, and they're doing an exorcism live on his web show. You know, I felt that this was more like that, and it had elements of Repossessed. Like I really thought of Repossessed. Because I love Repossessed.
So do I.
You know, I love that. It was Repossessed with the Cleansing Hour and Ghostwatch. That's the style of film we're doing, only minus the comedy of Repossessed.
And I'll be honest, this has comedy in it, dude.
It does.
There's literally a gag. And when we dive into some more details in the movie, again, spoilers, there's one gag I think is really funny that literally is mentioned towards the beginning and gets paid off at the very end.
Yeah.
And it involves the skeptic. That's, and I think And he's one of my favorite parts in the entire movie. But another reason I wanted to talk about this, because, you know, we don't really, in actuality, here at Haunted Hangover, we tend to not really cover modern movies that often. We don't really talk about, you know, I've done a couple movies with Chris here and there. Once in a blue, we'll do them. But another reason I want to talk about Late Night with the Devil, not only is it, you know, a mockumentary style film, which I'm a big fan of, it's also technically a Halloween movie, which I remember seeing, you know, the trailer and being like, oh shit, it's a Halloween special type film. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because one detail that when it comes to the Halloween aspect of the movie that I really loved is it's almost like a lazy attempt at creating a Halloween special where, and you're going to hit us with a little bit of a breakdown, not breakdown, but a quick synopsis of what the plot of this movie is about. But what I loved about it, and it stood out to me right when we were watching it, was that it's literally a bunch of adults that don't give a shit about Halloween that are using the holiday to try to make money and bump up like the broadcast numbers and the viewership. Like, oh, it's our Halloween special. We're doing this, that, and the third. And I just love like the laziness in the costumes, the set dressing, just a couple of bats, a pumpkin. And it's pretty charming to kind of not go all out. You know, I wouldn't say it has like, it's not like oozing with any Halloween atmosphere, but the slight charm of it, that being like this lazy, like chain smoking middle-aged guy's attempt at creating a Halloween special, is hysterical. Just kind of, even to the point that later on in the movie, there's a point where they get like a really, like a shot of the shitty jack-o'-lantern on stage. It's very prominent throughout the whole movie.
It's in the background through the whole film.
The whole movie, and the like the shitty bats, the costume, the skeleton audience, you know, participant, which pops up a lot. But I thought the graveyard skit. Yes, the graveyard, exactly. Like all of that was spot on for something like Johnny Carson would do in like 1977 or something like that. I love that. Just like the lamest attempt at putting together a Halloween special, but it kind of works in that case, you know, and that's what I really enjoyed about it. But yeah, Manny, what's Late Night with the Devil about? Shortest breakdown.
It's about the devil.
It's about the devil. Satan.
It's not, though.
No, it's not. Exactly.
Okay. I wrote this down so I don't stutter too much through it. So David Dastmalchian plays Jack Delroy, a late night talk show host playing second fiddle to the ratings of Johnny Carson in 1977. Nailed it, buddy. You nailed it. You just said that. after his wife's death, he goes down a dark spiral and he returns to his late night show with a Halloween shock inducing ratings bonanza in the form of a supernatural themed episode featuring a psychic, a skeptic, and June Mitchell. June Mitchell is a therapist who's been working with a young girl that she believes is possessed and is attempting to control the demon via a series of seances. And Delroy pushes them into doing one of these seances live on air, and things go off the rails from there.
Phenomenal job there, buddy. That's the whole movie.
That's it.
I want to talk about the performances. Let's start with that. And David, I can never pronounce his last name. I think when we went
to Dastmalchian.
I know the dude's face. He's been in a ton of shit. I could never pronounce his last name. They really marketed this entire film around his presence. Obviously. Yes. Posters, trailers. And I want to just kind of take a second to talk about him, because he's the driving force behind
this. He's amazing, and he's phenomenal.
And he's great in this. He comes off as kind of like, and that's the point, like a sleazy late night talk show host who just cares about being number one. He is desperate to be number one and beat Johnny Carson. And I just love how, like, there's literally, you see him backstage, like I think it's his producer, right?
Yeah.
That Kiki, and they're always smoking cigarettes. And he's like, this is the one. This is the episode. This is the night that's going to get us to beating Johnny Carson. This is the one that's going to get us at the top rated late night talk show. And like the suit, his sideburns, like every little detail, him drinking Jack Daniels at one point and like, oh man, there's so much good stuff in this episode. Even though, you know, as like watching this, that no good is going to come from this possession slash, not really an exorcism, but this possession live on television. And I just think he's fantastic. But I also want to say that the supporting cast in this movie is equally as fantastic. I think most people, when they watch this, because they recognize him and he is the centerpiece, he's going to get a lot of the recognition. But I'm honestly, dude, the skeptic, that character was great. Mm-hmm.
He was great.
He's amazing. And I loved that they added an element of that into, you know, and they even say it when they introduce him, that he is like a magician, an illusionist, and he knows how to create kind of what these people say they're doing, seeing ghosts, talking to dead people, whatever.
Christo.
Yeah. Like he literally has an answer for every single time something happens on this stage. He has there's some like backhanded compliment, not even compliment, but a backhanded excuse as to why.
Oh, that's how the, done. I'm still thinking the psychic. No, that's the skeptic.
The skeptic.
Yes, the Carmichael.
The psychic was also great.
That's, I'm talking about, I'm thinking of the, you said skeptic and I'm thinking the psychic. I loved the psychic. He was great.
Which is who our
Christo.
Friend, our
the
friend
psychic
Beck
is
friends with that actor.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there you go.
He was excellent. He was awesome. Great. Tell him he did a great job.
That's what I told her when I saw her the other day. I said he was great. Yeah, dude. And he's the first character you see, the first kind of supporting character you see. And what I like what they did with him, because he's kind of the setup to shit going batshit insane, because he accidentally like summons this spirit that is sort of the I don't want to say the protagonist of the movie, because I wouldn't call Delroy the greatest human being when we get to the ending of the film. But he kind of, I do like how he's the one warning, like he's warning the audience without it being so like in your face. Obviously, you know, his wife comes into play a little later, but I do like the setup with that character and him kind of having like his head. Mm-hmm. I almost thought his head was going to explode when he like gets possessed.
Oh, yeah. I was like, look like scanners. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, is this dude's head going to blow up? Almost. I almost wish that they would have like gone all the way with that. But they do, when he gets killed, it's kind of like on his way to the hospital after he has like a hemorrhage, I think. Like he vomits up all this black goo. And, and you know what I do like too? And it was a small detail. I'm curious if you thought this. So with his character, when he goes to the one guy, he gets everything wrong and guessing like a guy's family member, this, that, and the third, he's wrong. Then he goes over to the family. Do you think that was supposed to be a setup where that was like set up in universe, that was all bullshit, but he actually does get possessed? Like he does have the power, but it's not as accurate as he claims it is.
No, I think that he was totally full of shit.
And it just so happened that he gets possessed.
And there is an actual, I mean, we see that in plenty of films where you have a fake ghost hunter and a real ghost or demon decide almost like in there, like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think he's a real psychic. I think it's very Kreskin where it's all a show.
Yeah.
Now, and I mean, and even in the 70s and 80s, you had a lot of those people on those talk shows. And that's exactly that one guy had a talk show. There was that one guy had in the 90s or late 90s or so. There was a guy.
Oh, he would talk to the people in the audience.
Yes. And yes. Like, oh, he had a. Yes, and that was an entire talk show was him reading the audience, and he had plants and everything. There was the Steve Martin movie, A Leap of Faith, where he plays a preacher, and he actually has plants in the audience who get information from other people, and they slip things in people's pockets, and they touch people with like invisible ink, and he's got an earpiece in, and he listens to what his plants in the crowd have done, and he just reacts.
And they do something like that in Late Night with the Devil, because the skeptic goes up to the woman and her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking them, did you guys fill out a questionnaire before coming in here? And they did. So I do like that little detail where it's never in your nothing about this movie is in your face.
No, which it's very, very subtle.
Which I could see some people getting a little confused at kind of even when you get to the ending where you're like, what is happening? It gets very kind of like artsy towards the end, almost Altered States-esque, which I know you love, where it's kind of like, what the hell's going on here? And trippy and stuff. But I do like that with the skeptic. you see him going up to the audience members, asking them questions like, did you answer this, that, and the third? And they're like, yeah, we did fill out some stuff. And then he, and we know he gets possessed. His fucking eyeballs roll to the back of his head at one point. Like, that wasn't, and even he's confused. So I do like the way they sort of subtly hinted at him. His accent even changes, but I don't know if that was done on purpose.
No, he's at one point when he gets really possessed, suddenly the accent disappears. And I even leaned to Lynn and I was like, oh, look at that. The accent's gone. It's total bullshit. The accent is gone.
It's almost
it disappears,
like,
and then he catches himself and he rolls back in. But yeah, the accent disappears for a few lines.
And he's, you know, because he's conjuring up these ghosts, these spirits. And I almost feel like the character practices that shit, but obviously he's a fraud, hence why he's able to get possessed in a way. But it's more so what Delroy has done throughout, you know, in the backstory. Another two characters, and I believe it's I forget the little girl's name. It's June is the doctor. She's the parapsychologist, and then I believe it's
Lily?
Lily. Lily's the little girl, and they were good too. Listen, the actress that played Lily,
this entire cast is incredible.
Yeah, but dude, that there's some shots when Lily is human before being possessed, where something is off, and then as soon as she gets possessed, it's like a different fuck. Like the makeup, the way they shot it, the single eye with the hair in front of it, and her eye color changes to like a green color. Obviously, very Exorcist-like.
Yeah.
And then her chairlifting and her kind of freaking out, and then kind of like there's almost like two or three voices at once. There's like a demonic voice, like her Captain Howdy.
Yeah.
And then the white, and then Delroy's wife, and then her voice. Really interesting way they were able to kind of like cut those three together to kind of make it seem like she's possessed by two people, which I think was the point, where she is possessed by something else, but the wife, which comes into play at the very end, is also possessing her, right? Is that how you took it?
I don't know. I didn't consider that.
Okay.
It's possible. I didn't consider that.
Again,
it's
all kind of ambiguous.
Like, yeah, I always see that sort of thing as like it's her voice and the demon is speaking through her, so you're hearing both of their voices at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I feel. You know, it's the editor in me is like, it's just a cool effect.
Yeah.
You know?
Because she literally was like, it was her voice and then some, like, because they kept mentioning her like version of Captain Howdy over and over again, which was like a scary demonic voice. But then you also heard his wife. You heard Delroy, his wife, like several times. Even The Conjurer, you hear her voice at one point coming out of him briefly. So, you know, and even the one dude who was like his, like the band leader guy, his assistant, his kind of like co-host, he was good too. The guy with the mustache. He was really good, and he kind of popped in and out. And he was kind of the voice of reason and probably the most likable, the most innocent. Gus, the most innocent out of the entire kind of all the characters that exist in this universe. But just a really strong, I think that's one of the best things about this movie is how strong the cast is overall. Like every single actor in this was great. There was all very charismatic, all kind of enough to tell this story, and it's not a long movie. This movie's maybe only 90 minutes long, if that. I think it's a little
93 minutes.
Yeah, so the fact that we're able to cram so much into such a short amount of time is perfect. And another thing that I really enjoyed was also the setup of it being, again, a documentary, which I wasn't anticipating. I thought it was just going to be a broadcast and that was it. Is there anything like on your end, some stuff you really like liked about the movie, some stuff that stood out to you besides the cast outside of that?
I was going to say Michael Ironside.
Wait, he's in this?
He's the narrator.
Oh, shit. I had no idea. I didn't even realize it, dude.
Michael Ironside is the narrator in the beginning.
Like, that voice was so like, it was so, it sounded so authentic. To like a 70s documentary. I was like, oh, shit.
It's a total like unknown cameo. They didn't say, but yep, that's him.
Is he listed in the Yes. Oh, he is. Michael Ironside, narrator.
Yeah, I remember seeing it at the end. I was like, that is him. But I was caught because I didn't say while we were talking because we were busy when we were done. I thought that the woman playing the wife was Micah Monroe because she looks just like her. Similar, and that ended up, that was the conversation we had at the moment. By the time we finished that conversation, I totally forgot to mention Michael Ironside.
Yeah, because you thought it was her. I was like, I don't think that's her. And
she looks just like her.
I can see the confusion, I guess. I looked it up and I was like, no, guys.
Georgina Hague is the actress. And I even looked her up. I'm like, the picture looks like Micah Monroe. No,
not her at all. I was like, no, guys, that's not her. Yeah. And then for most of the movie, she's wearing like the cancer bald cap.
And that's another, like, times. She's got a very similar face. And that's what it was. Like, with the makeup and the way that they made her, because she's got cancer, I said, well, the makeup's making her look a little different. You know, that's why it didn't look exactly like her, because I'm like, she's got makeup. They made her skinny. They, you know, again, like you said, they shaved her head at some. It's like, OK, well, this is why it doesn't look exactly like her, because it's got to be makeup that did it. But no, it's just a different actress. Just look, it's like Samara Weaving and Margot Robbie. They could be sisters, you know. This girl could totally. Yes. The two of them could totally play sisters and you would buy it in every way, shape and form.
Yeah. And you mentioned the makeup, like just kind of the cancer. Honestly, like I was impressed because a lot of the effects with the possession, with even his wife being a cancer patient, like just what they did, the look on her, the ending scene with all the like electricity. There's a really cool head splitting effect.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah. Gus.
It felt like that. There was that one segment in VHS that did something similar to in one of the VHS movies. It did a similar. And I loved that, you know,
which is a good comparison to this movie, too. I'm glad you mentioned the VHS. There's kind of a little bit of that flavor sprinkled throughout this movie. Yeah. I wouldn't say this is VHS.
No, not entirely. But there it's
are
there.
There are glitches that happen whenever shit's about to go down. In the broadcast, it happens a couple times where like the film jumps or it skips or the tape skips, which I don't know. I don't think this was supposed to be VHS, right? In 1977, what would this be?
They were shooting on film for the most. Recording to tape, but they were shooting on film for the most part, which was weird. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they might have been one of the shows that went analog video already. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. You know, I thought that the glitches were a little strange because they generally shot on film, and I didn't think that it would have looked that way back then. But it's very, very close. Robbie Bloodshed. I don't know. It looks like he's in the chat or was in the chat.
Hi, Robbie. I was with you last night. What's up, buddy?
Which that actually brings me to what one of my other favorite things is the music. I loved the soundtrack. I liked the music that they had on the in the intermissions. The theme song for it. It really sounded like a late 70s TV show. It had that kind of jazzy, bluesy kind of late night. Coffee house type of music, and me and Lynn were just kind of dancing to it every time it popped up. We were like,
"Yeah, it was pretty. It was accurate.
Really good music.
It was accurate of depicting what the music was like at the time. Even like the band playing.
Yes,
coming,
it was great.
Like going and coming from commercial break was spot on. But I was talking about the effects for an independent film, and I'm assuming this did not have a huge budget. It's all one set, and it's a relatively small cast. They did a great job, man. Like,
they did.
Just everything. Like that entire sequence. So there's a sequence in the movie where the skeptic wants to prove that June set this whole thing up with the possession. And there's a scene where the skeptic and Gus, they're sitting across from each other. He hypnotizes them, and I do like that he hypnotizes us, the audience.
Yep.
He hypnotizes everyone watching, and we don't realize it. And Gus is scared. He has a fear of worms. And he literally has a worm erupt from his stomach, his neck, and then I think out of his mouth, a giant worm just kind of rips. And, dude, you know, again, I don't have the number of what this budget was. That effect is probably the best one in the movie. Would you agree? Like that entire
Yeah. Oh, it looked great. The stomach tearing open looked incredible.
All the worms just coming out. Like, I'm not scared of worms. And even I was like, oh, this is fucking nasty. Like, considering like all the worms was erupting from his stomach. But I really did just kind of dig the whole, just like the what they were able to achieve with a relatively limited budget. I'm assuming. Probably like $1 million or 1.5 is what I'm thinking the budget is.
I'm trying to find it now.
I don't know if you'll be able to find it on a whim, but it was impressive. You know, and even like the, you could tell there wasn't a lot of CGI and stuff like that in the movie too. Maybe besides the like head splitting light effect that they put over the possessed girl at the very end when the big reveal happens.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I really loved about it, and we should kind of go into it because we didn't even brushed over it, was the setup of Delroy being involved in a cult. Or they never say it's a cult. What was it? It was the owl. What was the name of the I know Night Owl was the name of his TV show, but what was the name of the cult he was a part of?
Oh, they just call it the Grove.
Yes, the Grove.
They call it the Grove, which is Bohemian Grove.
Yeah.
And yeah, the actual it's a play on the Bohemian Grove group. It even looks like it because that's what Bohemian Grove is. It's a group in Washington. These rich people just get together and they do this ceremony with an owl, and it's called the cremation of care ceremony. And it's just a giant owl. So that's why like the Night Owl thing is actually funny that he's part of that group. And it's a play on the ceremony with the owl that the Bohemian Grove does. And now his show is called Night Owl. The dog is going nuts. I don't know if you hear him, but I thought that was really funny. Real quick, budget is listed as 1.1 million.
Also, yeah,
that is the claimed budget.
Yeah, that's a really. I'm sure there a little more was added on marketing because they've been marketing this film pretty good. I've been seeing it all over the place. They even did an event which I couldn't make. I got an email. They had an event out here in New York where he was there in character.
Yeah,
and they were interviewing him.
No, that's the wrong. So. I actually think this might be this. That sounds wrong.
It said 1.3 million.
Yeah, 1.1. That sounds wrong.
1.1. Yeah, it's. I'm
looking at it, and I'm looking at this rating, and there's a bunch of other films listed, and it's telling me their budgets, and I'm like, there's no way that was the budget for that movie or that one, you know? No. I think that might have been what it's done. Yeah, 1.1. That exactly 1.1 million in theaters so far.
Oh, that's good. It's doing well.
It says budget, but it's not budget. That's box office.
I could see this being around the 2 million mark in budget just because
it's done 2.8 million so far.
So I'm saying it's doing really well, but I could see it costing around that price just because there's not a lot to this. It's all one set, man. There's not really much to this, but we should talk about the ending and talk about kind of, cause that's kind of, you gotta kind of move forward. So it turns out that Delroy, he's basically a part of this cult. And he sacrificed his wife. Because even when the movie ended, I looked at you guys and I was like, he sacrificed his wife. And I was even not confused, but I was a little like trying to get every detail. Because again, we've only seen this movie one time at the time of this, you know, recording this episode and going live. He sacrificed his wife in order to get good ratings.
I didn't take it that way. No, I didn't take it as. That would be like the Rosemary's Baby interpretation. It's in that realm, but basically he was promised stardom by these people, by this cult. And she ended up being the sacrifice that they took, but I don't think he knew that.
Yeah.
They were going to have to take something from him. And they chose his wife. That wasn't a choice. Like, he decided he would sacrifice his wife for the stardom because I don't think that he would have agreed to that. Like, based on the way they play it, it seems like he didn't know that that's what was going to happen.
Yeah, because even at the very end of the movie, Lily, he kills Lily, which she's a sacrifice as well.
Yeah.
Because he kills her. Yeah. Live in the broadcast.
Yeah.
So I was a little, I was like, all right, his wife was a sacrifice, but obviously this child was.
I think,
as well.
His wife was an unintentional sacrifice. Yeah.
And I even told you guys, like, when the movie ended, I was like, was his wife trying to warn him? And that's just kind of how the filmmakers are trying to tell the story, where, like, she's trying to tell him, like, look, this is what's going to happen if you keep messing around. And he ended up having to sacrifice another person, which was Lily. That's kind of what I took it, because she does pop up early on.
Yeah.
She's so prominent in the beginning of the movie, where you meet her and you learn his life story and how he started this show and he was married.
Yeah.
She got lung cancer and wasn't a smoker. And I already knew something was up when I saw the cult. And then that, I was like, all right, something's going on. There's some involvement. She was so prominent early into the movie that I knew something was up. And then for him to kill Lily at the very end, thinking it's his wife, mm-hmm. I took that he had to sacrifice someone. So, like, they sacrificed his wife for stardom, and then he had to kind of sacrifice someone to sort of – and I'm curious what your interpretation is. He had to sacrifice someone to, I guess, kind of cement the stardom and to cement his fame and what he wanted, you know, because Lily technically was an innocent bystander. Yeah, they almost hide the possession
mm-hmm.
in that she's really just another sacrifice. Well, they're all sacrifices, I think, in reality, because June gets killed, Gus gets killed, the skeptic gets killed, everyone gets killed except for him at the venue. He's the last man standing. So, but what were you going to say about the ending?
I think that the wife is there. I think the spirit of the wife is there. Think of it in the terms of the setting that they're in right now. There is a little girl in the building who is actively the vessel for a demon.
There is. Okay? That's what I'm saying. It goes back. I think she was possessed, but there's two possessions.
I mean, the therapist, she says that she's the gateway and she can only come out if we do this or whatever. And I think that's like, I think that's because, she is the gateway. She's the conduit for this demon, which means the demon is kind of always just sitting at bay, waiting for the doors to be opened. And I think that the demon has more control over the little girl than anyone is aware of, because Lily is really weird from the very beginning.
She's strange,
She's very weird.
So good.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Creepy.
So I think that the demon is somewhat in control at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of puppeteering her to be a little girl, you know, but he can't fully manifest until they open the doors, number one. So I do think that the demon is, that's why the psychic was suddenly able to get a real, because just the presence of the demon in the building opened the supernatural pathway of way of saying it. So that he set the tone just by being there, the demon did. And I think that that's why his wife is able to be here now, because there is some level of gateway that is now opened just by the demon being there. Mm. So the wife can now communicate with him.
I see what you're
saying. With Delroy.
It's a lot of moving parts. I'll be honest, it's smart for this type of movie.
It is. I like that they keep it. They keep it kind of vague without that true explanation so that you can see it different ways.
Different interpretation,
Yes. When we get to the ending now, my interpretation of him killing the little girl is that's how he becomes famous. That makes his dream come true.
Yeah.
He is not famous for he is not this big, you know, famous name for being a talk show host, which is what he wants the fame for. The double-edged sword of making a deal with the devil is that the devil's going to give you what you want, but not in the way that you want it. Mm. So he wants to top the ratings. He will top the ratings by going down as the guy who killed someone, and maybe he killed everybody. Who knows? But by having people murdered, one of them, at least one, by his hands on his show, that's how he becomes the number one show.
By killing someone live?
Yes, exactly. That's what makes him famous, not for being a good talk show host or having a good show, simply because he killed someone on air. And I think that's the double-edged sword of making a deal with the devil.
which we do, we didn't even mention it, but there is like an Anton LaVey group of like Satan yes. worshippers as well. That we didn't even mention them, but that's
Xander or something. Yeah,
entire sequence was, they did such a great job recreating those like 70s Anton LaVey yep. videos. So good. When I saw that, I was like, oh, there it is. There's the devil. There goes, yep. There goes the Satanism part.
Because even back then, LaVey was on TV talk shows back in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. He was on them all the time, and he was totally open. Here's my videos. Here's what our ceremonies look like.
The actor that they got to play the Anton LaVey type character, he looked like the leader of a satanic group. It was like great casting.
Oh,
like,
I just had his name here.
The way he looked, he had like a little goatee type situation, and his hair was slicked back with like the cape. I was like, all right, I get what you guys are going for. Great job.
Damn it. I just had his name here and I was like, oh, and then the thing closed on me.
no worries. But I could see like the different interpretations at the very end, dude. Like I said, I think most people are gonna watch this movie and they're gonna think one thing and it could be something. Like, you could literally see it any different way. Obviously, it's about fame. Obviously, it's about, you know, sort of sacrificing everything you love for that. And that's the whole, I feel like that's the whole point of the movie. And that goes to what I said before. That's a lot smarter than it's you're being led on to believe when you watch. Like, oh, this is just going to be a possession or a haunting. And like Ghostwatch. I love Ghostwatch. But in the end, it's literally just a haunting and the spirit taking over the entire broadcast. That's kind of how the movie ends. And
it's a great ending.
And WNUF, which I've covered both of them here at Haunted Hangover, are completely different. They did really smart stuff.
Yeah, I don't see the comparison. No. I mean, I see the comparison. I see where people would make the comparison. But once, like you said in the beginning, once you see the movie, you're like, no, it's really not like that.
Yeah, and this is literally, the type of film. And when I really think about it, there aren't a lot of. Yeah, it's a niche kind of subgenre of horror, like the found footage, lost media, broadcast, whatever, all lumped up VHS, WNUF, Ghostwatch, the one I haven't seen yet. There's a bunch of movies that kind of look, you know, kind of have fit this vibe. What's the one? Host, that's like a Zoom call gone wrong.
Yeah, Host is a Zoom call where they play with a Ouija board.
Yes.
There's a bunch of friends on Zoom and they do that and...
Yeah, and shit goes wild.
Yeah.
But those type, that subgenre of a broadcast gone wrong, which I'm a huge fan of, I think it's not as big of a genre as people make it out to be. And I think all these movies are pretty unique in their own ways. And Late Night with the Devil is definitely unique. Like, you know, it gets all kind of altered states and weird at the end, which I really liked. With all the imagery of, you know, him with the Satanist, with the cult, with the Satanist, with the people in the audience, which is implied that some of the audience are part of the cult or a part, which.
No, I think that was all hallucination.
No, for sure.
I think that was all hallucination.
And you know what made me, I could see where you're coming from. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. No. Yes, you're right. There were two or three people in the audience that were in full costume.
Yes.
That were just very weird, especially when they tried to interact with them. Like they did a little joke with the skeleton guy.
And he wouldn't even move.
You know what? You may be right in that. There might have actually been cult members in the audience. You're absolutely right. I can go with that. Yeah.
I love the choice of costumes. Like I love that there was a classic skeleton in the audience, like wearing a Halloween costume. Like when you really think about it, a cult person wearing that costume would be the silliest thing in the world, but it works in this movie, especially visually. It looks really good.
Yeah.
I want to take a second here to talk about a little drama that's going on with this movie. A little drama to say here. I think the drama is a little silly. I think the drama is a little blown out of. Everyone is on, you know, I think with the subject of AI in general, people are kind of torn with. Some people are against it. Some people are for it. Some people like it. Some people hate it. Some people think there's a good place for it. Some people think there's not a good place for it. Like everything, right down the middle. You're either against it or for it. So apparently in Late Night with the Devil, there are some trends. If you don't know, because there might be people that don't know this shit, but there are some trends.
Because they had these back then. These are things that they did back then that a lot of people today would not even recognize.
Exactly. But in the film, there are some transitional images between commercial breaks where the film goes into the traditional film narrative. Yep. And some of the images are Halloween images. I think one's of an owl with like a pumpkin. One's a skeleton on top of a TV or something with pumpkins all around it. All Halloween images just to kind
of
show.
Three of them.
Yeah. We'll be right back after these messages. You know, back to the show. Like those type of 70s, very authentic 70s bumpers, I guess is what you would call them. Mm-hmm. Images that were created using AI. Yep. And the filmmakers... And this is the filmmaker in me, and Manny, I'm sure you can agree with me. The filmmakers probably didn't think anyone would notice because these are very brief.
I'll tell you exactly what happened when you're done. Okay.
In my mind, this is what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I'll be very honest. I did not go into reading all the articles or watching interviews with the filmmakers. Yeah. I have not done any because I didn't want to spoil the movie before going into it. So I went into this movie completely blind. I assumed... They made the bumpers. They needed like three of them quickly. They got, they put in the keywords, boom, 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 Halloween, skeleton, jack-o'-lantern, bumper, you know, night owl. And they got these bumpers made and they just plugged them in. They're so brief that I think unless you can recognize AI's kind of fuck ups in like images and creating images and faces, you wouldn't notice. Like if someone didn't tell me, unless I was really like looking at it, like looking at a still image of it, I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah.
So Manny, what were you going to say?
So one of them's a skeleton. One of them's the owl. I think the third one is actually the one that's on the wall behind him.
Oh, the actual like logo of the show with
the door that opens.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that might be the third one. So it actually is a big in the background of the movie for most of the film. Now, here's a fact that people are ignoring because they're unaware of it. And it goes back to what I said in the beginning. Okay. This film was shot and completed in 2022. This is a 2-year-old film that they finished this. This premiered in early 2023. Okay. The AI, first off, the first part of the argument is, well, they foregoed hiring graphic artists and just did AI. And that's okay.
Which is always the argument.
That I get that argument 100%. In a little bit, in a metaphor, I've heard, you always hear that story. I don't know if you've ever heard this story. Okay. Guy walks into a bar and another dude walks in and he sits down next to him. The two of them order a drink. The bartender grabs a bat from behind the behind the bar, points at the other guy, and he says, "You get out."
Yeah.
And the other guy, and they look at each other and he's like, "What did I do? No, get out. We don't serve you around here. Get out." The two guys, guy finally gets up and leaves and he says, "Wait, what happened? What's wrong with him?" He's like, "That guy was a Nazi." And he's like, and the guy says, he's like, "All right, well, you kicked him out. But I mean, he wasn't really doing anything." He's like, "That's where you're wrong." He says, "Because a Nazi shows up here, he gets comfortable, he becomes nice and comfortable. Next thing you know, he brings one of his Nazi friends, and that Nazi brings his Nazi friends. Before you know it, this is a Nazi bar, and it's too late to do anything about it." That's how AI can grow. You say it's okay for one, it's okay for this, and eventually, before you know it, the entire damn film is made by it. So I understand the argument 100%. I totally get it, and I understand that it is a slippery slope. Okay? Well, this is okay. Well, because the movie's really good, that makes it okay. The difference is, again, this was finished in 2022, all right? In mid-2022 or so. So premiered in March of 2023. ChatGPT did not go live until November of 2022, after this film was finished. Before this, Sora and all of that sort of AI was only developer and beta test based. This was professional based. It was not a public thing.
Yeah, I remember so when everyone was posting up those like really shitty AI generated images. It was like, did a couple for fun.
And that was after this movie was already done.
Yeah. But we wouldn't, the general public would have known that though.
No, exactly. You didn't even know that it existed at the time that they used this, number one. Number two, they say a lot of the argument is, well, they're not hiring graphic artists, they're just using this. That's not true either. Mm-hmm. They did hire graphic artists to do all the artists, and the graphic artists used the AI to create these three images and then touch them up post AI. So it wasn't, they didn't just use the AI and create these images and stick them and use them as is. These were graphic artists who were suddenly now given a new tool within Photoshop or whatever, you know, graphic program that they're working in. Here's a new feature that just showed up. I've had Photoshop. I've been working in Photoshop since about 97 or 98. Okay. And yes, in late 2022, Photoshop got this update where suddenly Content Fill Aware became, it can complete the photo. This was the coolest thing in the world. It was so damn cool to just sit and play around with this. All right. Then ChatGPT went public in November. Then the writer's strike happened in, I think it started in March of 2023 when this film was premiering. Mm-hmm. And when the writer's strike started, they had a 7-point bullet, a 7-point memo of their main concerns with the studios. AI was number 7 on that list.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was the last point because they were not concerned with it. By the time SAG went on strike, 3 months later, it was number 1 because that's how fast AI developed and changed the industry.
If you look at AI 2 years ago and look at some of the images people are creating now, it's wild how realistic it looks.
Exactly. This wasn't a concern. It looked
like shit originally, and then now it's like you wouldn't even...
AI, and at the time that they did this, it was completely unknown that these developers creating Sora and the OpenAI, that they were using images from the internet to train the AI. Nobody knew that this was happening until mid-2023. And that's when they did this a year before anybody knew how it was working. Before we knew, it was just like another plugin in Photoshop or whatever graphic art program is. Mm-hmm. Could they have changed some of them? Maybe. The argument could be made.
They're so brief.
Yes. But again, number one, I think that it's the background of the film. I believe the big door that's through a good portion. I believe that's one of them. Yeah. I'm not positive on that. But the fact is the film had already been sold and has been doing film festivals for an entire year with those images in there. And the only reason anybody knows that they used AI is because a week ago the filmmakers went public with it. And they told you, they were honest about it. They said, look, AI was used in some of these images. Our graphic artist did it. And Dust Malkian's been doing interviews and webcasts and stuff all week long, kind of trying to field this, explaining exactly this, that they did have graphic artists and the graphic artists use it. So saying that they decided to not hire a graphic artist is just wrong. Okay. And saying that they decided that AI was better than this is just wrong.
Well, they obviously hired a graphic artist because look at all the posters.
There's
that have
a
been
ton
in
of
head.
Other stuff. Yeah,
you have a poster over your shoulder right now that was not AI. That was not created. You can tell it's not created by AI.
No.
And some of the other, like there's one of his face. There's a bunch of different.
There's a lot of art created for this film. For you to think that they just stopped with these artists and said, well, we need a couple more. Let's just throw some AI together and stick it in the film. That's good enough. After having artists design it for months.
I think it was harmless.
I don't think it was harmless. I do agree with the other side. I don't think it's harmless because, again, I do agree with that with that slippery slope mentality.
Yeah.
You know, where is the line? But another friend of mine, Mike Epstein, had a long conversation on Facebook. Long fucking 150 comments ended up going down on this thing.
Oh, wow.
What is the line of where? What is acceptable computer generated imagery? Where's the line drawn? Because Content Fill Aware has existed for a decade.
They're doing AI now in Premiere where you can literally mix your entire, and I haven't used it, but I know there's an option now where you can literally click on like your audio track, like the podcast, and AI will go through it to clean it up. But it's adding words to stuff and sometimes it'll cut stuff out. So that's how you'll be able to tell soon when someone's using AI on a podcast or whatever. It's weird, man. It's still sort of in its infancy.
It is. And this infant is growing fast.
Oh no, for sure. You know, the infant's already like 4 years old, but I'm saying
there's another part of it too, which again, Mike Epstein said is the fact that like he does stock footage himself and he puts it up online and people can buy his stock footage. his stock footage is being used to train these AIs or to work on these. And someone can use AI to create something off of his stock footage. And he then gets paid for that, too.
Okay.
So is that acceptable as well? Like, as long as the original artist that it's being trained on is being paid to, is that acceptable? Or is that also not acceptable because it's still AI? Yeah. I'm not standing really on one. It's a matter of this conversation, I believe, needs to be had, you know, that something needs to, this conversation has to be had without the reactionary, everybody losing their mind over it, when a lot of the people who are really upset about it have absolutely no stake in this game whatsoever. It's true. Most of the people who are losing their shit over it are just people who watch movies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's people like you and me and our friends who actually may suffer from this. I'm not saying we will, but it is quite possible that our jobs in the industry can be affected negatively toward this. So we are the people who should be having this conversation and deciding where this goes. But we don't know where it's going to go. This thing could, I mean, I truly believe that within 10 years, I say, I don't even 10 years, by the end of the decade, by 2023, you will have had a film made completely by AI, and it will be in theaters.
There's already like screenplays being written using AI, and
but
books.
I mean, like everything completely generated.
Look at what happened to the Willy Wonka guy, the Willy Wonka dude in Scotland? Uh-huh. He created this entire immersive event using AI, it was a shit show. Yep. So, I said.
I think we'll get full feature films made. At least one will hit theaters that was made all by AI prompts.
Not yet, though. I think we're
I say by 2020, by 2030 is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's still
at the end of the decade. I think that'll happen.
A lot of it needs to be ironed out. You can still tell when the AI messes up and screws something up, and like in images, gives someone an extra finger or something. Like, it's not uses the wrong words. Like, I've read, like, I think there's, like, a lot of articles now that companies are using AI. Like, these are kind of, like, I don't know, like, bloggers writing, like, stuff for websites and clickbait, all created by AI, which is why that's wild to me, where you're cheating. And like I said, I get where people are coming from both sides with art and stuff. I think AI is a good tool to help, but not to kind of create from scratch. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'll be honest, I'm not someone to kind of dumb it down a bit. I'm not someone that's in a place where I even will use it. Like I don't need to use it.
I've played around with it. I have an account on a page that is a full AI. You just put in prompts and it creates things. And it's fun. I just play around with it. I haven't used it for anything, you know? It's fun to play with.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, just to see what the. I actually find it amusing how you write this prompt and how it interprets it. Yeah. The weirdness that it interprets.
It's crazy. The whole thing is wild, and just kind of where people are. I just think people need to take it easy. Listen, Late Night with the Devil is a good movie, so I don't think people should really kind of hinder it on three pieces of art or four pieces of art. Well, in my opinion, that's my opinion.
I don't think
it needs to be.
Well, I think, you know, I think they shouldn't hinder it because it's like hiring an abuser to be in your film before you know that they're an abuser.
Yeah.
You can't blame the producers for doing something that they did not know. You know, nobody knew that this is how the AI was being trained when they did that.
Yeah.
You know,
and like I said, it goes just to kind of the whole film as a general. It's such a small detail in the movie that I think people are.
I get that. I look at it like, okay, I don't think that's a small detail argument. Like, if somebody were to do it now, it's a small detail in the movie, but the movie was amazing. It's like, but they still used it.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see why people are upset, but at the same time, in my opinion, for this movie,
it's fine.
It's so blink and you'll miss it almost. Again, I'm not sure about the background image. You might be right.
I'm not sure.
But I know the transition images are what people have been posting. I think people are like focusing on that so much. I've seen like literally on Twitter, like 15 conversations about it. I'm like, guys, the movie's good. Like, whatever.
There's a bunch of artists that are recreating it. Like, look, I could have done this even better. And I've seen a lot of people saying like, you can tell that it's AI. And I'm like, could you? could you really?
No one
it's like a lot
me.
Of the, yeah, it's like a it's lot of the so people brief, that dude. Watch it's a movie so and they be like, I could tell they shot this on digital. Could you? Could you really? Yeah. You know, because most of you guys probably have your motion smoothing on your TV too, and you can't tell that either.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Again. So, different degrees of knowing what's what in the world of technology. Yeah. So now I don't expect, especially filmmaking, graphic design, music. There's music being created, AI with voices and everything now. It's wild. I don't know where it goes from here. Like, I don't know what the future of it is. I don't think it should affect Late Night with the Devil that much because it's not like the entire film or scenes where AI was used to create. It's literally a couple of bumpers in the movie. So I think it's a little...
And I think, again, the fact that they did have graphic artists, and the graphic artists are the ones that chose to use it.
Yeah. So
it's like, yeah, if anybody's jobs are going to be affected by this, it's directly them. Yeah. And they used it. So it's kind of like, well, you know, if they cut off their own nose to spite their face, that's their problem.
Yeah.
That's on them. You know,
I get it,
but I think that a longer conversation needs to be had, and people downing this movie over it are I just think they're wrong because of the fact that it was an unknown thing at the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, if somebody did it today, I could see you getting upset over it. But
yo, dude, I guarantee
2 years ago, no.
I guarantee there's people that haven't even seen the movie yet and are just like, they use AI. Like,
dude, I've seen a whole lot of people post and say, you know what, I really was looking forward to this film, but I can't enjoy it anymore knowing that they did that. Art, really? Yeah, really?
Kind of dumb.
Really? Well, no, like, stop. That's just internet reactionary nonsense. Like, if you don't want to watch it, you don't have to make this huge declarative statement of where you stand on this issue, you know? And I think that's kind of what the internet's become. And what you were saying earlier, I believe the internet is dead theory. I believed it for years that a good portion of the internet is just AI generated, and it's just reposts from bots and AI. And I think that the new AI is making it even bigger. And that's kind of where a lot of it's coming from too, that a few of the negative voices are being made louder.
Yeah.
Because that's what drives clicks. That's what drives engagement. So the AIs and bots are promoting this by retweeting and resharing and everything. And I think that's why a lot of it is getting as far as it is. Because honestly, if the filmmakers didn't tell you, I'd stake anything on it. You would have no idea.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want to focus on it too much. We already gave it too much time.
No. Well, we're almost done. I think we're almost over.
Yeah.
We're running. You got to go see Ghostbusters too.
Yes, I'm about to go see Ghostbusters, which is not getting the greatest reviews, but whatever. Like I said, I think this movie's great. I don't think people should let the whole drama that's going on with this bullshit kind of just keep people away from watching it. I'm hoping when it goes on Shudder that people forget about that nonsense and just enjoy the movie for what it is. I enjoyed it. I think I can't wait to watch it again and maybe catch some of the little things I missed, which I think this movie is filled with.
Yes.
There's some small little details.
Easter eggs everywhere.
But you probably, you know, again, only seen it once in the theater. So I'm sure when you watch it a second or third time, you catch little kind of foreshadowing and stuff like that early in the film.
When this hits Shudder, I'm watching it like the first day. I did same thing when It's a Wonderful Life. I saw that in theaters. It hit Shudder the first day I watched it again. This is great.
You know, this has been a spoiler review. So if you're listening to this or watching this, you know, later, whatever, you know, I'm hoping people would go into it not knowing. Like, I went into it not knowing anything. I didn't watch
a single trailer. I just saw images and stuff over the year. Yeah. But I did not watch the direct trailers.
I loved it. I think it will work well to be like watched during the Halloween season. I think it's perfect for that. And I think it goes well with like Ghost Watch and all the movies we've mentioned a bunch of times in this episode. I think it's perfectly aligned with the rest of those movies. And if you dig those type of movies, I think you'll dig this. And if you dig The Exorcist and Evil Dead and stuff like that, it has a lot of homages. There you go. There's a lot of homages to, you know, all the movies that came before it, way before it. And I appreciate that. And I think people should just keep the drama in their rear view. Keep it behind you. Enjoy the movie for what it is. Manny, final thoughts, Late Night with the Devil.
Go see it. a great, excellent film. Dust Malkian is amazing. You know, I'm so excited we got this poster.
Oh, yes.
I just asked the guy for it before we went in. I asked the people at the theater, do you have any posters? And he checked and he gave it. He had gone in the back for a little while. We went into the movie. He came in the dark and handed me the poster. Like, he came and found me. And oh, man, when it was over, it was like, oh, I'm so happy to have this poster. As soon as we got home, I framed it immediately. So
shout out to that AMC employee at Raceway 10.
He gave me nothing. He didn't give me anything. What are you talking about?
Oh, yes.
He gave me
right.
nothing. Nope.
It was not him.
I didn't get it from him.
Sorry, it wasn't him. What am I talking about?
Gave me nothing.
Yeah, go watch it either in theaters if it's still playing, or on Shudder whenever it drops. Highly recommend it. Watch it in October. Watch it halfway.
Dude enjoyed it.
Dude enjoyed it. Manny's dog. Everyone will enjoy it. And that's it. But yes, subscribe, follow us, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, MySpace. What else is there?
MySpace. No, wow.
I'm just kidding. At Haunted Hangover.
Wow.
Head over to Haunted Hangover.
You're going to get a Substack soon? Maybe yes. maybe a B-board?
Yes. Head over to hauntedhangover.com for links to everything. Patreon. Support us. Really
AOL
that.
Chat room.
Yes, AOL chat room. Head over to the Patreon page. We've been putting up episodes early, obviously, if you're watching or listening to this. This is not one of them. We may do some live episodes over there on the Patreon, exclusive to Patreon in the future. We're dropping stuff early over there, exclusive episodes, all that good stuff. Rate and review us. It would be greatly appreciated wherever you're listening to this. And as always, remember, the best cure for a hangover is...
more booze!
Catch you guys later.